Sun. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
It does. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading in the KCNR studios. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, we are your talk radio. And we are streaming live at kcnrradio.com, kcnrradio.com. And we archive 5 minutes after the program's over.
That's correct.
That's correct, isn't it?
So there is no excuse for not catching our program every week.
So if you're in the Ukraine and you want to listen.
Yes. Or the wilds of Bernie.
Yes. And we archive forever.
And ever, amen.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Anyway, we have an announcement. I want to go right to Nelda Johnson. She has an announcement. Nelda, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you today? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So if anybody's out there looking to give your way back to your civic duty, we are looking for poll workers. And if you're interested for the June 2nd election, if you're interested, you can go to the elections at ShastaCounty.gov and fill out the application. Also, we are looking for kids to do this. So we do have a student poll worker. So if you're 16 years and older, you have a GPA of 2.5, you need permission from your parents, and you can attend the class, and you can be a poll worker, too, and learn about the elections. We also have one more exciting thing. We are hiring general assistant extra help. Those are going to be poll closers. They're going to help after that long day. Everybody's at the polls to close out the polls. And if you're interested in that, you'll go to job opportunities on the Shasta County webpage. Fill out. It'll be general assistant extra help under elections. And if you have any questions, you can give me a call Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30 at 530-225-3950. And thank you so much, and we look forward to having everybody join us and learn more about elections.
And Nelda, can you give us that website, that website again, and also your phone number again, please?
Sure. So if you want to be a poll worker, you go to Shasta County, you go to elections.shastacounty.gov. If you want to do the extra help, you go to shastacounty.gov, look for job opportunities, put in the search board where you search, it'll say elections, and it'll go right to that. And you can call me at 530-225-3950.
Thank you, Nelda. Have a great day, hon.
Thank you. Have a great day, too. Bye.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm going to sign up.
Yeah, I know. That'd be great. 16-year-old kids, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Just get your parents' permission and
yeah.
Parents, tell your kids. Good learning experience.
Well, if I were a high school teacher, I would give them extra credit or credit for an assignment like
that's
that.
That's because you're that kind of teacher.
That's right. Yes. I mean, that's civics in action.
You bet. Today, we're here with Rich Gallardo. Rich is running for District 1 in Shasta County. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. This is my inaugural interview for my run. So in honor of that, this is my inaugural donning of this very special and unique hat that you gave me about 3 years ago.
The hat he's got on says Navy on the top and has an Army bill on it. So because he was in both. But anyway, Rich, tell us a little bit about something about yourself.
First of all, yeah. Let's make sure we all know what he is running for.
Didn't I say supervisor for
District 1?
Okay.
I thought that's what I said. Did I? It's okay. I'm getting old, so I may not have said it.
If you are, then I'm just ancient.
No. Not in Janet years.
That's right.
Anyway, Rich, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Born in Santa Barbara, California, raised in Ventura County only until the middle of high school. My parents split at that point. My mom came up here. I came up here with one of my brothers in the middle of high school. At the end of the day, all four Gallardo brothers graduated from Anderson High School.
So you have four brothers.
Three brothers.
Nice. Yep. So Anderson High grad, but I've been here since about 1985. This is my home. I've been here well over 40 years, and I absolutely, this is my home, which is kind of why I'm fighting for my home. And I'm fighting for my son, too.
Yes.
Went into the military not long after high school, Navy. Spent a couple years on a ship. Then went to military police school. And then I was an active military policeman for a while. And then I got out of active duty, went to the reserve status. A few more years as that. Made a switch to the California National Guard, you know, hence the hat. And did some time at the in the local armory here. And then did a one-land homeland security mission after 9/11 of 01. Mm. And that convinced me I didn't want to be in the Army anymore. So when I got back from that, switched back to the Navy Reserve, did about another 4 or 5 years as a reservist, and retired with 21 total years of service.
Wow.
Also, during a lot of that reserve time, I had started a career. I started late at about 30 years old with Cal Fire. So, and that's late. Most people with Cal Fire start, you know, like right out of high school or right out of college. So I've done 18 years as a firefighter EMT. I'm not doing that anymore. I've been in the private sector now for a few years, mostly commercial driver. You know, I have a Class A license, and I love the private sector. My gosh, it is. While the private sector has its issues, at least it's not working for government anymore. That's all I can say at the moment. But I'm really happy to be in the private sector. And so that's kind of my background.
That's neat. And how old's your son?
16 going on 30. He's also going to graduate from Anderson High School. So he's going to be the fifth Gallardo graduating there. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, with the candidates we brought in all of them. So, well, not so far. We have three left, I think, we're bringing in. But everybody who's running for supervisor in Shasta County has come in for an interview. We always like to ask them, what are the three things, and kind of stay within that realm, what are the three things that you would like to do and see happen and do for the community in Shasta County? And how would you do them? How are you going to accomplish your goal? Go ahead. What's the first thing?
Well, there are many things, but let me first preface this by saying that I'm not sure if we'll take calls today. You know me. I have a lot of information to put out.
Well, we do want to take calls because we do want to do that because the fact is that this is more about finding out who you are, like you just told us, which is very interesting, and more about something with specificity. I mean, there's a million things that need to be done, and I know that you're where your heart is. You want to fix this stuff.
Yep.
So anyway, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we do have two lines open. Anyway, what would be the first thing that comes to mind that you'd want to accomplish in your role as supervisor if you were to win?
So, I will answer that. So, everybody that's listening, please go to my website, Gallardo for Supervisor. It's the number 4, GallardoForSupervisor.com. That is an extremely comprehensive site. There is so much information on there. Any question you have, it's likely going to be answered there. So, everybody, please review that as you're listening. And the three main topics, and I have a lot, as I always do, but the three main topics are economics, fiscal accountability.
And how would that work specifically? What is it you see that you would like to change fiscally since the county is in the block? Go ahead.
Well, with about $1 billion of CalPERS pension and unfunded health pension liabilities? No. The county, remember there's debt service, there's a deficit, and then there's a debt. Okay. We may be in the black as far as an annual deficit is concerned. Mm-hmm. We are not in the black when it comes to the debt. Mm-hmm. So that really sets me off a little bit when people are not paying attention to the totality of the economic status of our county. We have so much money that we owe, and my tenet here is the state of California, they're broke. Been broke forever, right? Mid-budget, they'll say, well, we have, you know, $40 billion, surplus. And then 6 months later, oh, no, I'm sorry, we were wrong. $20 billion, in the red. So you can't believe the state of California at all. They don't have the money. Okay, they're broke. And the federal government, let's see, during the 90s, we had a $4 trillion debt. Now we're, I think it's 40 now, 10 times. And that's funded. What about the unfunded $200 to $300 trillion in pension liabilities?
Well, let's get back to the county.
I'm not interrupting you.
Okay. I'm just trying to do clarity. That's all.
Yes, I'm setting a foundation.
You got all the time in the world.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm setting the foundation.
Well, basically, the thing is what is it specifically you can do within the county to go after these unfunded liabilities? The city of Reading's been doing that, trying to do it for 20 years. What are your thoughts? Okay. What are the things within your jurisdiction?
So I'm setting the foundation for the listeners as to why I'm going to answer your question and how I'm going to answer the question. The state's broke. The federal government is broke. So every time we take state and federal money, we're exacerbating the debt and the deficit. Okay? I get it. There's pass-through funding that comes through the state and feds for certain programs. I get all that. But it's still taxpayer money. Whether it's state or federal taxpayers, it's still our debt that we can never pay it off, nor our kids and grandkids. I mean, it's that bad. I want to declare a fiscal state of emergency. And again, I can't do anything as a loan supervisor.
Sure. So county, fiscal
I will motion
state
to get
emergency.
Things on the agenda
right.
and change things through policy, general law ordinance, or home rule ordinance via the charter amendment process. And I want to declare a state of emergency. Now, we may be in the black for this particular year, but our unfunded liabilities, that is easily a state of emergency. We are not going to be able to pay that back.
What's your thought process on how you would get that vote, the quorum, to do that?
Yep.
Because I'm not saying it isn't a good idea. I'm just saying that a lot of times people need to see something.
Hey, I can go back for 30 years and print out the state's budget cycles and results, and 30 years and the federal. It's math. It's not even Common Core math. It's regular math. And when people read it, they're like, my gosh, how is it we don't remember these things that happened 30 plus years ago and how bad it was then and how worse it is now? And look your kids and grandkids in the eyes and say, you know, I did nothing. I did nothing, son or grandson. I'm going to lay this budgetary nightmare on you. I do not wish to sacrifice right now for your benefit so that you suffer less later financially. I'm tired of people not looking at the kids, grandkids, et cetera, in the face. I mean, that is so selfish. That is selfish, and it's immoral to place what we already have on the following generations, let alone make it worse. And so a fiscal state of emergency, we start, and the state's done this a couple of times while I was employed with them. They did a fiscal state of emergency. It suspends certain portions of contracts, union contracts, by the way.
Okay.
You can start cutting salaries for a certain percentage of time.
Okay.
There's things that can be done, but you have to declare the fiscal state of emergency in order to invoke these emergency actions. And there's many other things that will fall from that. We have to understand that we have to sacrifice something now
100%.
So that future generations suffer less than we... Okay, I mean,
well,
Loyalton
went bankrupt in 2014. I think it was.
Vallejo went bankrupt about 20 years ago.
Yeah,
well, Stockton went bankrupt.
When they went bankrupt, what happened is that they ended up in a position to where the debt fell back on the folks, on the taxpayer. So it really is like you're saying. I mean, it's these unfunded liabilities, CalPERS, et cetera.
Yep.
So. Do you know if you need 4 out of 5 for the quorum on this, or do you know?
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, we know at least it's 3 out of 5.
Well, when you're spending money, there's a 4/5 vote for a lot of the budgetary spending, but this isn't spending.
So. Go ahead.
But again, let's go to the CalPERS thing, right? This is all economically related. I'm receiving CalPERS right now, okay? Now, I was in the system. You know, I got into the system not knowing that CalPERS, it's actually a Ponzi scheme. It really is. And what I want to do is get other jurisdictions. There's, 10,000 cities in this state? There's 58 counties. I mean, we just need a couple of dozen. Let's get a class action lawsuit against CalPERS so that we can expose it as the Ponzi scheme that it is. There are so many things in there that are absolutely horrendous. And we switch from a defined benefit system to a defined contribution system.
Hmm.
Okay. The private sector, almost all of them use defined contribution,
yes.
Meaning... You employee puts in some money, the company matches it into a 401 or of sorts, right?
Yep.
We have to get away from this defined benefit system. There's so many problems there. There's no time today to even talk. We could talk about CalPERS for an hour, but I don't have that time today. So just doing those two things and then the natural fallout of the state of emergency, of of fighting CalPERS and getting out of CalPERS mm-hmm. and instituting our own county defined contribution retirement system. Those are monsters. Those two are going to be monsters by themselves. So, and there's many other things that I want to do. Any taxpayer money, whether it be local, state, or federal, going to nonprofits and NGOs, especially nonprofits and NGOs. We create a local ordinance that mandates nonprofits and NGOs put all taxpayer money into a separate bank account that still the nonprofit NGO controls, but that ordinance says, no, those documents are now public documents. You shall, did I say shall, put those out for public consumption when requested? What you're bringing in taxpayer, what you're spending taxpayer, and that we mandate these NGO nonprofits come into the board, have a special day or days of hearings under oath, under penalty of perjury, and give annual reports to the public. That needed to happen a long time ago. That's accountability for the taxpayer funding. So those are the three big things. There's many more I want to do on the economic side, but those are the three big things on the economic scale.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, I mean, the thing is that, you know, it's nice to hear people standing up and saying, hey, you know, this is our money. California's screwing us. I mean, it's that simple. Janet, do you have any thoughts?
Yes, I think that those of you, and I'm included in this, along with Rich, those of you who are invested in CalPERS and CalSTRS, which mm-hmm. is the teacher's retirement, mm-hmm. these programs are required under state mandates to invest in green energy, to invest in Chinese companies. They can't sustain. They cannot continue.
And there's been known Chinese Communist Party members on the CalPERS board. This has been proven.
Because they are investing in Chinese companies.
So
and green companies. And they have to do it, whether it's profitable or not. And CalPERS, more than CalSTRS, has been losing money.
Yeah.
Their investments are not good because they have to invest according to ideology rather than economic mm-hmm. sustainability.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, I mean, they always talk about how what you're running for, Rich, is, you know, really has no affiliation with any party. I think that's BS. I think that you're a conservative. I think that's safe to say. I think it's safe to say. Mm-hmm. And so being a conservative, you have those values, and you would carry those values into
office.
Correct. And I think that if somebody is on the conservative side of things or the liberal mm-hmm. side of things, I mean, that's always going to be an issue. I hate this nonpartisan office business.
Yeah.
That's good. How about, what is the second thing you'd like to do that you feel strongly about? And we have a break coming in about 7 minutes, but we can always continue it after if mm-hmm. you need more time. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So the next thing I want to do is I want to undo some of the unconstitutional things that the board in the last 3 years has done.
Okay.
And there's a few of those. Let's see. Fighting the citizens. Suing the citizens to stop an election petition, that was wrong. There needs to be some kind of a policy or a resolution enacted at the board level that they will not fight against an obvious constitutionally protected action by citizens or citizen in the county. They need to put that in writing. So if that was in writing, they would have not have tried to stop our petition by avoiding the title and summary, because the California Constitution is extremely clear.
They couldn't.
But my point is, we put that in writing.
Yeah.
We put that in writing, so we stopped that from this point forward.
I just have one thing to add to that, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
The title and summary basically was, they can't stop that. I mean, that's illegal to even stop. So there's already a law against it. When you have a title and summary and you're the county attorney, you need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not optional.
It's not optional. And, you know, and so, I mean, that's already in place by the state. So that happening is always kind of blown my mind. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. And, you know, after the county sued us to stop it and they lost and they had to issue title and summary, and that was a 5-0 vote, by the way. We, the proponents, nor the public, to this day, have received a public nor private apology from that board.
Okay, well, let me just stop you here just for a second.
Uh-huh.
And that is that, okay, but we're talking about We're talking about what you're going to do,
sure.
And I understand that. There's hope, and what you brought up already, to me anyway, and obviously as Joe Loudermilk found out, what he was doing was illegal anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the point is there's already a law there. There's already a policy there. It's right. already there. So let's fast forward to
the next thing
you've won your position,
yeah.
And it's now January of 2027, and all that's behind us. No, that's all behind us. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. I'm sure there's a lot of people that agree with you, a lot of people that disagree with you on your point. But point is that the county had to do the title and summary. In a sense.
Well, going beyond that, Rich, are you saying also that the board would be required to support any initiative that is set forth by the people in the county?
No, I'm not going that far.
Okay.
Because depending on what initiative, see, the board itself doesn't have to take an official stance.
No.
On a citizen-led initiative. And I'm certainly not going to force that on a board. Right, that's their decision to make at the time of an initiative.
As a board, would you expect them to defend that initiative against the state?
Well, I see your question, and I do. You're leaping ahead. And my answer is, this is Kevin Cry's words, by the way, the will of the people. He's saying he wants to defend the will of the people against stopping this election initiative to ballot. But I don't see the action. I hear the words, but I don't see the action. And to answer your question, yes. If a petition goes through the process, voters sign it, and it's all done by law, and it makes it to the ballot, and the voters vote for it, and then somebody sues to stop it after that, I absolutely expect a board of supervisors to say, we will defend that to the end. Period. That's the will of the people. Can I get back to undoing? Because we're still in the what I'm. This is my our second category. What I'm going to do.
Of course.
My second is undoing things.
You've got 3 minutes, but we can always pick it up after the break. So go ahead.
So another thing I'm going to undo is the license plate cameras.
Okay,
$500,000. Yeah, you knew that was coming. You knew that was coming. It's on my website.
Why did they ever do that?
Holy
mackerel.
Yeah, I'm going to undo that. There is a 30-day opt-out clause in that. I have the contract. You know me. I get the documents. Okay. There's a 30-day opt-out in that contract. So, yep, we're going to issue the 30-day opt-out. That'll cancel the contract. We're going to yank the cameras. You're welcome, by the way. That was egregious. Should never have happened. And many cameras around the state of California and even the country, a lot of those cameras are being yanked out, some for immigration enforcement purposes, but other for privacy purposes.
How about DUI stops?
Well,
they're unconstitutional.
Well,
there's no probable cause.
I didn't come prepared to talk about
those
checkpoints. I'm just
kind of throwing that out there.
No,
I mean, it sort of fits in the category of all this stuff they're trying to do to us.
Yep. So cameras gone. What else? Oh, it's probably too late, likely to fight legally.
You got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just for clarity for the mm-hmm. folks. Okay. Just for mm-hmm. clarity. Okay. So you're talking about not only the license plate readers, but what about the other cameras?
Well, most of those are in the city of Reading. So
yes,
the county supervisor can't do anything about those, obviously. That's not the jurisdiction.
Right.
And to my knowledge, I don't know of any stoplight cameras that are in county jurisdiction. I'm not aware of any. Doesn't mean they're not out there, but I'm not aware of them. So for the most part, it's a city of Reading issue. I don't like them, by the way, but it's not a,
that's
not
where I was going. I don't like them either.
No, not a board of supervisor jurisdiction.
Like
well, again, a constitutional issue.
Absolutely.
You think? That's the whole point. You brought up the Constitution. And I think to a degree, those things do fall in maybe not the jurisdiction to where you can interpose and nullify, but it certainly comes into the position of who a candidate is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could get an ordinance passed to make stoplight cameras illegal or prohibit them in county jurisdiction. That I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And yes, I'll add that to my list.
Anyway, we're going to go off to our first break. So if you have a question for Richard Gallardo, running for District 1 in Shasta County, Supervisor, 605-4567, 530, 605-4567, and time has come.
4:51, and we are getting it done.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
Open now at Turtle Bay Museum, Thomas D. Mangelson, A Life in the Wild, featuring 40 of the legendary wildlife photographer's most powerful images captured in the wild. These iconic, once-in-a-lifetime moments include polar bears dancing on Arctic ice, these salmon leaping straight into the jaws of a massive brown bear, landscapes from all seven continents, and much more. The A Life in the Wild tour is produced by David J. Wagner, LLC, and is on display at Turtle Bay Museum now through May 3rd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at readingbarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at readingbarbecue.com.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its start, the Redding Rancheria Community Fund has granted over $4.6 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated the amazing organizations that we've been able to help with a special surprise bonus award of $10,000 being given out. It is with your help that we will be able to continue the amazing cycle of giving. The annual Redding Rancheria Community Fund Wicked Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Yes, when the dealing's done. And we're still dealing here.
Life is a gamble, but you got to know how to get through it.
You bet. We're dealing here with Rich Gallardo. Again, if you have a question for Rich, and we're getting some texts, please don't text. We're turning off our phones. If you have a question, 530-605-4567, 605-4567. Rich, continue on, my friend.
Speaking of deals, the deputy DA Association, those would be the deputy DAs that work for Bridget. They have their own private association. They have invited me and others for a private interview. And I said, and they're going to do an endorsement. I said, I need to audio record it for my note-taking purposes and archival purposes. And they said, we don't want any audio recording because then we want the candidates to be open and honest. That was their answer. Oh, yeah, you heard me right. I have the emails, by the way. And then I retorted back. I'm like, actually, no. The candidates should be open and transparent where a recording would be taken. Uh-huh. And I'm like, no. This is my opinion. It sounds like they wanted to do some backroom deals that are not on record. And I'm like, nope, no thank you. So I'm not going to be attending that interview for that reason. So, getting back to what I'm going to undo, my gosh, I have such a long list. Let's go. Can we go to the third topic? So you want
to
do?
Yeah, go to the third topic.
All right. Let's go to the, well, if we're going to leave room for a couple calls, all right, let's go to the third topic. So okay. I want to reopen the public meetings, especially in the last, as far as Brown Act restrictions. The board recently, I think it was Senate Bill 707, I'd have to look, that made the board change some Brown Act parameters, which are supposed to be in effect July 1. And I heard some information which I did not which I could not confirm in writing because I didn't see it in writing. They said that they're going to start taking online phone calls in order of that they're received, and that could mean that, you know, well, maybe the phone callers call in way before, and now nobody in person is going to get to speak because everybody else called in first. Mm-hmm. And they said that was according to state law. I read SB 707. I saw nothing in there.
Well, LA does that. LA County does that. They'll have call-ins, but because what they do is they cut public comment to 30 minutes and then you're done, but you still get the opportunity so you can call in later, which nobody listens to anyway.
Correct. That's another thing they did is they're restricting the initial public comment to 20 minutes. Yeah. But nowhere in 707 did I read that it mandates the order that you put callers in versus in person. I didn't see that. It wasn't there. So I don't know where they're making that stuff up. But, you know, and then 3 minutes to 2 minutes. I mean, are you kidding me? And, you know, my opponent, my main opponent, not the other one, who's been in office for a while, yeah, he said it, you know, when he first ran about, the meetings belong to the people. You can listen to the Reznor Cry debate that happened, I believe, right in this very room. And he said, no, the meetings belong to the people. I want to return them to the people. And these latest votes by the board regarding Brown Act is further restricting public attendance, public time at the microphone. I'll also put back in the document cam.
And you don't need the cards. Go ahead.
There's right.
Yeah, so you don't need the cards.
The board has some latitude to put into policy additional parameters for Brown Act. Okay. And that is in Admin Policy 1-101, is the public meetings part of it. I've read that document many times. And, we need to put back, so the meeting for the people, meaning three minutes, again, at least 3 minutes.
Well, they changed it back to public comment to 3 minutes. They did change it back.
Then they restricted it to 20 minutes.
No, not of
total per agenda.
Not right now, no, because we griped about this on the radio.
Yeah.
And I personally called a couple of the supervisors and said, you know, what are you doing? You're trying to talk about transparency. This is tyranny. You know, basically, remember, we had that conversation, Janet, and we talked to them, and they moved it. Kelstrom moved it back to 3 minutes for public comment. I don't like that you have to fill out a card, but they're saying that you fill out a card so they can get a count of how many people. What do you care how many people? Right. It's the people's. Right. It's the people's house.
The Brown Act reads
should
fill out a speaker card.
Not must.
Not should. I didn't read it there.
It's in the Brown Act. Well, should fill out a speaker card.
But that's only for the purpose of them knowing how many speakers there are. I mean, that's the that's what I read.
Okay.
Where is the transparency if you are accepting phone calls? Anybody can call in and say my name is, or I'm anonymous. And then at least if you are at a board meeting and you stand up there, we know who you are and we know how to accept your opinion. But if it's a phone call,
Well, the thing is that what Rich is saying, I mean, here's the deal. It's the people's house.
Correct.
Yeah.
The people need to go in there. I don't, you know, Patrick Jones used to say, okay, cards are all done here. Anybody else want to speak?
Exactly.
And that's the way you're supposed to do it.
And guess what? As soon as he left, that stopped.
I know. Well, it went to 2 minutes.
And worse. So I'm going to bring that back. Absolutely. But to talk about your anonymity, you know, we have a secret vote, you know, for a reason. As people want to be able to vote and not be politically or socially persecuted for their vote. It's kind of the similar protection as far as being anonymous, speaking at a board meeting or any public meeting. You know, you may be afraid of social, you know, political ramifications, maybe from work, right? Maybe your boss doesn't want to know you lean a particular. These things are real, people. I have been politically persecuted at several of my former jobs. These things are real. I know people today. I won't say this person's name. They took a job with the county. Well, first they were politically They were politically persecuted by the city of Reading. They wound up quitting after, I think, 15 years. Uh-huh. Never been written up. As soon as this person gets on a local board and starts acting conservative, the city targeted them, started writing them up. They went ahead and quit about 9 months because they knew it was coming. That same person goes to the county, gets a job, okay, 1 year probation with the county, and you can be released up to the day before probation's up with no cause whatsoever. This person didn't even make it 3 months. He was released with no cause. Didn't even make the year. Political persecution exists, folks. So getting back to the anonymity, there's a reason that people may want to be anonymous, because there's persecution comes from so many different areas.
But I hate to see that take place in a dark room. I think if we're going to have a republic, a representative government, democracy, it has to be open.
Yeah, it's like a license plate reader.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I will give first dibs to the people that are physically there who are – now, the people on the phone may be taking time off work. I don't know, right? That's kind of irrelevant. But the people that are physically there, that took the time and the give a you-know-what to actually get there, park, walk in, wait for
– pay for parking.
And if it's paid, wait for who knows how long in line to speak or not. I mean, those people, they need to get first dibs. Anybody else that's not physically there, they need to get at the back of the line. That's my opinion.
I just hate to see it done by phone, because there's so many things that could go wrong. I can call up and say I'm Terry Raposa and speak in his name, and it isn't he.
Yeah. So that was the big thing with the meetings, is we need to return them back and to where they were 3+ years ago, and expand it. Actually expand that. Because it's the people's business.
You think?
I get it. There's department heads that are sitting there waiting for their time to come up. There's contractors maybe that flew in to wait for their presentation and stuff. I get that. That doesn't change the fact it's the people's meeting. And those board members are representatives. They are not leaders. They are representatives. And that's a cost of business. If you're a contractor wants to come in and get an $8 million contract with the county, well, you better be prepared to pack a bag and maybe stay for a couple of days before you get your turn to solicit your contract. How about that? And same with the bureaucrat, the department heads.
Democracy is messy.
And if department heads somehow don't, well, cost of business. You're a department head, guess what? You go from meeting to, that's all you do. Meetings, meetings, meetings. And then you have another meeting to plan the next meetings for the next week. So a board meeting is nothing more than another meeting. Okay? Cost of doing business. The people come first. Period.
We do have a phone call. Dick, how are you, sir?
This is Dick speaking to a Richard.
Hey, can I don't know if I can say this. It sounds like there's two dicks on the air right now. Janet just drank.
Water. Yeah, so
it's the only way to get through this.
Janet.
Hey, Richard, you know, there's a problem in our county that every county in the United States has the same problem. It's the homeless problem, and nobody's ever solved it. And I understand the millions of dollars went, California money went to solve this, and nobody knows where the money went. It's gone. Mm-hmm. But nobody has been able to solve the homeless problem. Mm-hmm. Are you going to touch that one?
So thank you for your question there. And so I'm going to have a generic answer at the moment just because of time constraints. Homelessness is a problem, crime's a problem, and so are wildfires. But you know what? The establishment candidates, those are the first three things they go after, because that's easy pickings. That is low-hanging fruit. Okay? Yes, they need to be addressed. Does the homeless, what do we call this? Industry. Yeah, it's an industry, folks. Trust me. Do you think they want to cure homelessness?
No.
If they cure homelessness, Dick, they'll be out of a job. So, of course, they don't want to cure it, okay? It's similar to the health care system. It's a health care system, not a health cure system. Because if they cured things, they'd all be out of a job. So just understand that, Dick. Yes, it needs to be addressed, and we need to fix it. We need to tweak it. Accountability needs to be enforced on the homeless people themselves, a rigid program in place, and either they want the help or not. And if not, then we need to find them another place to live, another county.
Hey, Dick. Thank you, buddy. We've got another caller on the line. Thank you, Dick.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Steve, what say you, sir?
Yes, sir. Rich, I really love your passion. I've been listening to you for, 15 years, I guess.
I've only been on the air for about 5 since the recall.
No, I'm talking about all your call-ins for the last 15 years since we started this whole trying to clean up this mess, and maybe 20 years now. Anyway,
he's only been around for 5 years, Steve.
Steve, what do you got?
Go ahead, Steve.
My bad. I thought he'd been on since we all started this way back in the first state of Jefferson. It was with Mark back in the day. Hey, I sent a text to Terry. The book, Administrative Law, Is It Unlawful? And I've been reading that book now for a couple months. This is the problem. They administer all this stuff, the lights and the cameras and seatbelt laws and what have you, through administrative law, which is one absolutely unconstitutional, but nobody wants to really unravel that mess. It's been implemented for maybe, the last 70, 80 years or more, and they've slowly, incrementally have taken all of our rights. And until we address that administrative law, we're not going to get anywhere, because that's where they throw everything down the road, through administration, not through the Constitution.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And the drug war is the same thing as the homeless. Yeah, they never want to cure it because it's all part of the financing, the economical corruption. All right. Good luck, Rich.
Bye. All right. Thank you. So I'll summarize as quickly as I can what Steve's talking about. The administrative state. Back when Chrisanne Hall was on the radio, podcast, website, she did several very good shows on the administrative state. That would be the regulations, the regulatory agencies, not elected by the people, not accountable to the voters. That's what he's talking about. And the administrative state is unconstitutional, and don't take my word for it. And you'd have to go to Chrisanne Hall's website and do a search in there to find some of her old podcasts on that. And that's why they're unconstitutional. They're not accountable to the voters. They have laws. They have fines. I don't know that you can go to jail for an administrative violation, but you certainly can be fined, lose your business, your certificates, your licenses, and then your livelihood. So. Yeah, that's the administrative state, and I absolutely believe that it should not exist for those reasons. Absolutely.
Yeah, great explanation.
And one point on that.
Yes.
Term limits only makes the administrative state stronger. So think about that when you are voting for term limits.
And why do you say that?
Because it puts control in the hands of the bureaucracy, not your elected officials.
I don't know. I wasn't ready to look that up, but the Cato Institute,
right,
did a very, very 15 to 20 page item on term limits, pros and cons. Mm-hmm. So if somebody can just do a search, Cato, C-A-T-O, Cato Institute, it's probably about a 20-year-old story, 25-year-old, very, very thorough on the pros and cons of term limits or no term limits. And then you can, it's almost, when you read the entire thing and understand it, it almost left me on the fence, honestly, of whether I want them or not. So anyway, so go there and read that. It's very enlightening. Very thoroughly done, by the way.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think that the board has now, they're looking at. Right now there is term limits on the board. So theoretically, this is going to be Kevin Cry's last term, and it's going to be, if he wins, and Kirsten Kallstrom, if he wins, his last term.
I disagree. I disagree because...
Well, they get the extra year, but they both said, you may not have heard, but they both said that they won't run. This is their last one. They both said that. And I know you're kind of smiling here because we hear people say things, but is it really going to happen?
Let's see what happens.
Is it really going to happen? But that's what they said.
We look back at Mary Rickert, who was very strongly in favor of term limits, but then ran for a
third term.
Because nobody could do it like Mary.
Well, Modi and Rickert said they were conservative Republicans. Bold-faced lies. So there you go.
Oh, boy. Boy.
Fun times, boy, huh? Boy.
Yeah. So, something else I'd like to ask you, too. What do you think about forensic audits of each department?
Absolutely. Do financial audits that are
admissible in court.
That are admissible in court. Thank you very much. And, you know, the issue is there are probably some contractors out there, you know, CPAs, et cetera, that do such things. But here's the caution. Find out if these CPAs are doing these audits, and I use the quotes, audits, and that is like the bulk of their income, that they're just doing government audits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stay away from those people. Mm-hmm. They only give in the audits. They're only given the information that for public consumption, so that they just want to distract you from the real issues, where the money is coming and going. So I would be very careful on who you pick to do such an audit. That is very important.
So those people in District 1, why would those people in District 1 want to vote for Rich Gallardo?
Well, let's stay on the economics. So very recently, there's five or six precincts in District 1, and they overwhelmingly voted against Measure A. And the weakest win against Measure A was 55-45. That was the weakest, a 10-point spread. So the people in District 1, just like this is history, right? A lot of people don't get involved in politics until they feel it on their wallet, in their pocketbooks. And that's an unfortunate reality, but it is reality. And so I think the voters of District 1 want to see true fiscal change, reform, and accountability. And I've already given you some ideas. Again, my website, Gallardo for Supervisor, I have more fiscal ideas on there. And I think that's going to really help the District 1 voters. You know, my other politics aside, yes, I am a staunch constitutionalist, staunch, and a staunch conservative. Well, what's a conservative? Again, Modi said he was a conservative. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not that kind of conservative. Absolutely not. You know, I want to conserve the founding tenets of our country, bottom-up governance, right? We've been upside down for decades, generations, to learn that we got to figure out what the president's doing in Congress. And while that's somewhat important, you know, our country was founded on bottom-up governance, and it needs to be saved from the bottom up. And that's what we've been doing here in Shasta. And you guys have been doing it a lot longer with the State of Jefferson movement, but we really gained some pretty good political momentum during the recall, 2021, 2022, which I may have been a part of that, right? And so we want to reclaim everything from the bottom up. And being a charter county is extremely important. We have to take our rights back. We don't ask permission from a flawed person who wears a black robe. That would be called a judicial oligarchy. The judges don't run a constitutional republic. They can issue an opinion. Read the SCOTUS. Read Supreme Court opinion. That's all it is an opinion. Thanks, judge, for your opinion. Okay. If I'm in office, I will do things that will go to court. Oh, trust me, they will go to court. And when a judge rules against me, I'll say, well, thanks for your opinion, judge, but I'm not changing a thing.
And to your point, Reynolds versus Sims, one man, one vote, that was an opinion in 1964. California didn't adopt it as a state till 1966, to Rich's point. Something else, too, I wanted to ask you about, you know, and I want to bring this up because I think it's fair to bring up about all the candidates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Aaron Reznor is a responsible parent, you know. Kevin Cry is a very responsible parent. Rich Gallardo is a very responsible parent. So I think when you look at the candidates, what you have to be looking at is really some of the things you brought up, Rich, which I think have been very good in the fact that you know what you want to run on. You know, you've done your homework. That's what all the candidates really need to do, not be wafflers. I'm going to make Janet smile, right? Wafflers. We don't know any of those, do we? Syrup,
I get frustrated at candidates who don't understand jurisdiction, who don't understand where their power lies, and who don't understand that having a position at one level of government does not necessarily translate to what you can do at another level of government.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, I know that on a lot of programs, people get a half an hour, they get 15 minutes. Then there's breaks all over the place. When we have a candidate in, we like to give them the full hour, every minute there that they can go into. And also we want to make sure that people do get their questions answered. We have about 5 minutes left. We have time maybe for one more phone call, but you better be quick. If not, Rich, how do people get a hold of you? And are you having any fundraisers? What is it? What's your plan, buddy?
No, I have no plans for fundraisers. I do have somebody that's giving generously. And, of course, you know, those are all reported as legally required.
Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Now, this is a grassroots effort. This is a grassroots taking back of one of our county seats. Funny how Reznor's, one of her signs says, taking our seat back. Don't even know what that means. But
she never
my
had
sign
it.
Says fighting. My sign reads, fighting for we the people.
Yeah.
Anybody paying attention knows that I mean that and I act on it. And I will not change. I am not going to do that. I will. I'm going to have a checklist. If I get in office, I will have a checklist, and I'm going to put. I will motion to agendize it, put it on the wall, a checklist before any vote is made. Talk about fiscal responsibility. Talk about sovereignty for the county, sovereignty for the individual, constitutional rights. Are we upholding, protecting, or regaining? I will have a checklist on the wall, so that the public and the board sees it before they make any vote. That they have seen that and hopefully even talked about that checklist. Before we vote, let's go down the checklist, shall we?
Patrick Jones and I had a talk yesterday, and we were both on a radio program yesterday and called into it and talked about it. I mean, here's the deal, and all you people that are running for supervisors, we're frustrated. We're tired of the crap that California is throwing at us. We want, you know, some of the things that people may want to do may sound a bit radical, but are they legal and honest? That's the question. Everything that we need to be looking at now is California is doing everything they can to make our lives more miserable, harder. I mean, every time we turn around, look what they're doing with the wolves. They want to introduce the grizzly bear. Why don't we introduce the grizzly bear and the wolves to Golden Gate Park?
And the latest thing from the state is the legislature wants to pass a transfer tax on the sale of your property of 5 to 6%. So when you sell, you will owe the state thousands of dollars just to sell.
Well, we're going to have a mileage tax. How much more, folks? How much more? Now, the thing is that when candidates come on this show, I think that I appreciate every one of them. But I think we're all getting to the point of we've had it. We want to hear some real truth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that's going to come to the forefront. So, Rich, again, how do people get a hold of you, and what do you need as far as that you want to have as far as help, those kinds of things? Go ahead.
You know, as far as getting a hold of me, Gallardo for Supervisor, number 4, GallardoForSupervisor.com. I am amending that website a couple times a week, usually adding to it. Because I have lists. Yes, I have many lists, by the way. I also do a podcast periodically. It's called No Stones Unturned with an S on Podbean. So No Stones with an S. That's the only one on Podbean. So I'll be doing another one of those shortly. And I do those periodically. And I did have an interview, episode 5, with Cheryl Clifford regarding the SCRA and their mission statement. It was a very good interview, about 22 minutes. So, there's an email address on that website. Get a hold of me if you have a question, if you want a yard sign or something like that. And the thing is, people, if you like what I'm saying, I will do it. I will attempt to do it with motions and votes and agenda and discussions. I will attempt to do it. And if you like what you heard, you need to share my website. Share my website, get some lawn signs.
And remember, you can share this link, Rich. This link you can share anywhere you want. You have our permission. Share this with anybody. You folks out there, share this with your friends so everybody has a chance to listen to this. As we hope you share all the candidates that we have on here and each one of their interviews.
A free society is an informed society.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the time today.
You betcha.
Thank you for coming in.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done. Okay.